You're listening to an FX PhD podcast from fxphd.com.
Hey, and welcome to this week's FX PhD. I'm John Montgomery, joined by Mike. How's it going, man? Happy new term.
Oh, God, I am so happy to be here. This is brilliant. I'm just busting, man. This is, like, excellent. I've been looking forward to the April term for a while. I'm glad to be here. I always like finishing out the old term because it gives me a sense of achievement in my life. I've moved on to a new term. I do that four times a year. And today, this term is no different. How about you?
Very good. I'm excited. And the additional high of the new space, some new great courses that we've got coming up. I'm very excited. It's and NAB on top of that. Getting to see everybody, all the postgrads at the bar camp next week at NAB next Monday night. So...
too cool for
life. Life is good, as they say.
What beer should we have at bar camp this term?
Let me guess which one you would want at bar camp. Could it be Corona?
Maybe. Well, we could do Corona. We could do a mixture. We could get that and something, you know, girly that you like flat tricycle bicycle tire or something. What was that you like?
Fat tire, man. That's a great beer. But yeah, Jeff has actually already packed up the cases of beer, several cases of beer.
He's a good man. I like that man. He's a good man. Yes, all good.
How many lattes have you had today?
Oh man, I'm wide. Hey, so let's discuss what we've got, the courses, because we can do that now without having to hint or do anything. We don't have to wait to the end or anything. We can go from the top, knock everybody.
You want to start with the one that we kind of talked about first, which is the After Effects 301 course, which that story, it's with Gareth Edwards. And his kind of going over the work on Attila the Hun, and what he came up with the title, Guerrilla Filmmaker's Guide to After Effects, which I think is appropriate because that article you did with him was incredible.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, people really wanted us to get him to do a course, and I don't think they expected that we'd get him when we did that. And we asked him, and, you know, we say this, but this is just absolutely the case. We just did the story with him. We thought it was really cool. People asked in the forums, can we do a course? We went, hey, that's a good idea. Contacted him and said, hey, look, do you want to do a course? He was like, yeah, I'd be up for that. And that's how it happened. So, you know, it does work. You guys sort of like the we do have like these kind of steering committee meetings where we kind of discuss the various whys and wherefores and things, and we get obviously input from a bunch of people. But in a broader sense, we are guided by what you guys are yelling about in the forums. And so this one's directly related to that, isn't it, John?
Yeah, that's one of those things. Exactly. After they read the article, it's like, what do you think? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. And, you know, we had doubts that we could make it happen because it is hard. It's a tremendous output of time for the professors to commit to doing a course. It's not just the half hour that you see when you download the courses or the hour that you see in the courses. There's a ton of work that they do ahead of time. And I was so psyched when I heard that from Gareth after he said that he had agreed to do it. So, woohoo!
Now, just to give everyone a perspective on this, he's going to be doing some review of Attila the Hun stuff, but also doing new stuff in what we're calling the tourist shoot. So it's sort of doing 30,000 tourists charging across the plains in Attila the Hun style. Now, we've already shot for that to get that ready for this term. So we've shot both in Central Australia from helicopters, and we've also shot on green screen. And you might have seen a post of that in the Dean's blog, because I put a shot in from a bunch of people goofing off on set. So that's what that was for. Now, he's not going to do the whole of the tourist thing, segue. He's going to do part of it, and then part of it's going to be done in background fundamentals, because this term in background fundamentals, we're also doing like a kind of a back to basics thing where we're going to go through and do a bunch of shots, discuss the logic of why we're shooting them the way we are, why we shot them the way we did, and why you know, how they're coming together. And that'll give you guys a lot of material for working. So not always I'm going to be using the same apps, but obviously I find it really easy to use Flame to explain concepts because of the real-time playback and the editing capabilities as well as the compositing. So,
and the instinctive nature of running it for the time that you have.
Well, yeah, because the thing is I can use it without having to think, and therefore I can – well, I used to be able to, you know, when I was a young lad. Anyway, the thing is that – no, I just had this thing recently in the Flame class, and man, I just went into action and I did this thing with a source node, and it just jumped over to the side, 500 pixels, and I, for the life of me, I said, there's got to be a reason for that. And in the end, I just gave up and just moved it back. I don't know what I did wrong. But anyway – I digress. So the point is, we're going to do some cool new projects and clean up a few old ones that have been hanging around for a while, in the sense that we shot some great material and they haven't, you know, been taken through to finals. So we figured, why don't we just take them through to finals? And so we'll be dealing with stuff shot on the P2, stuff shot on Red and other places. So I'm pretty enthusiastic about that, and it'll be a big change from last term, where last term's background fundamentals, we were discussing, you know, your showreel, the business, jobs, how to move forward, you know, doing some pretty serious topics. This is our sort of back to basics as we discuss the fundamentals of, you know, just doing shots and pulling them off and how we go about doing them.
Yeah, fantastic. Another good compositing course is our advanced new course coming this term, which is going to be fantastic because the previous two new courses have been great, have a really good response from the postgrad, especially the last couple classes of that 200 level course that Sean did. But he's going to be leading an effort with multiple professors, actually, that we're lining up to do some project-based stuff. And talking about finessing some shots from the end, we've got some really great ideas that really taking that control room shot to the next level. So we're going to have some really hardcore CGI in there, using the camera mapping set extension capabilities of Nuke. Going to do a whole big zoom in thing into the control room. It's going to be really some fantastic footage, just using that previous footage you guys have seen, but really taking it and finessing it over several classes with some new CG elements to integrate into that. We've got some really hardcore scripting and custom node stuff as well for advanced users. And I can't actually say the guy's name right now because he hasn't, he's got to get a clearance for something, but we're really confident that we're getting him involved as well yeah, as some other artists.
The talent we've got lined up for the new course is astounding. And this is probably one of the most impressive courses we've ever done. If you are doing the Nuke course, though, the advanced course, you want to have done some Nuke before.
Yep.
And you probably want to not fill your rest of your timetable with, you know, effects heavy intensive work. You know, maybe pad it out with a couple of courses that aren't quite so homeworky heavy, because that new course will be really hardcore, like take no prisoners.
Yeah, exactly. And that fits in too with some of the scripting stuff and custom node stuff. I mean, the guy who's we're looking at doing this has really done some incredible stuff, and it's gonna be and I know it's gonna be way over my head, but it's gonna be really fantastic and a good mix. And I like the idea of doing the hardcore compositing course. So it'll start out a little bit slow and then really ramp up quickly too. So very looking forward to that. How many times can I say that I'm looking forward to it? I am, that's all. So that's been a fantastic thing. And then some more compositing stuff for those of you who took the Toxic 103 course last term. We're going to take a look at Toxic with a little bit of focus on Toxic and Maya integration. There's probably not enough there for a whole term on it, but going to really look at how to get that link between Toxic and Maya happening, because I think, Mike, you can probably agree with those being handled now internally at Autodesk by effectively the same guy. I'll bet we're going to be able to see some new stuff coming down the pipe in the future with that, because that idea.
Yeah, and one of the good things about this is it's the I was talking to the guys about this course, and we're going to do – there's a shot that we set up about a month or three ago, and it was this is not confirmed yet, but what I think they'll be doing is this kind of integration of obviously CG and live action with this kind of robot coming out of a thing. It's be quite funny. And there's a few shots. We've already tracked the shots,
yep.
Shot on film and on Red. So that'll be integrating it into stuff that's originated on film and on Red in the same class. I think it'll be really good. I think Toxic with Maya with a tight loop on that could be pretty darn interesting. And, I'm looking forward to seeing that myself.
Yeah, and there will also be some stuff that's not specifically related to that. But, of course, when you're doing a comp, the idea of what they're going to do in this is come up and work in a comp. And so Sebastian is going to be able to show some of the stuff that he didn't have time to in the Toxic 103 course. Effectively, what Sebastian did was take, you know, two of my courses and kind of try and shoehorn them into one single course. And he's got a lot of cool new stuff left over with that. So I think that's going to be great. And that's Sebastian and Matt Leonard, who just came off a really nice Maya course, 101 course, which is being repeated in the April term.
And one of the most popular professors we've ever had, this side of yourself, Mr. Montgomery, is Victor. And Victor is back after a term's hiatus. He's going to be doing an unusual thing, really. He's doing synthize. And I don't know, we made this a 101 course because we wanted it to be an introduction to tracking using synthize, because it was obviously my argument was synthize is cheaper, it's a good entry level, so we should have the course a bit more entry level. I don't know if Victor's going to be able to contain himself.
I don't think he's going to. I can see it ramping up incredibly quickly.
200 by the end of that course, baby. Yeah. Yeah, but having said that, you know, having done multiple PF track courses with him, it'll be really, really good stuff. The other thing that's interesting is that we will probably throw in a bit of PF Ho into that course as well. I mean, it's increasingly we're trying to not make it, you know, just a course about this particular app. Obviously, it helps if it's on that app, so you know where you are, but we'll have some points of comparison because it's not like we're paid by the equipment manufacturers or anything. So there's, you know, I think it's quite interesting to say, well, this is what Synthize is doing. And, you know, maybe just for a class or something, have a look at PF Ho, which is obviously the cheap version of PF Track, because, you know, that would give us another perspective on where the products sit in and price points. But if you've done any of Victor's courses before, obviously Synthize is different. But having said that, if you've not done any of the courses before, you'll really enjoy a course with Victor. He does a lot of work. I mean, an enormous amount of work preparing for each.
Yeah, and there were some questions in the forums about what it's going to be. Is it going to be all old footage? Is it going to be all new footage? And it's probably most likely going to be a mix. And Victor, I think in the O Week video, I talk about Victor really appreciating input from postgrads in the forums and helping steer the course. And I think you'll see a lot of that this term. But I think that's actually going to be quite interesting to see a comparison of how you'd approach it in one application versus another.
We're going to shoot some footage for Victor showing simple camera moves and stuff around the Neon Graveyard in Vegas, the otherwise known as the Boneyard. And we're going to give him some elements there with obviously static setup of old derelict signs, but we'll move around that sort of handheld and with and without zooms and stuff. I mean, that'll be some new footage that be interesting to have. Very CSI.
Yes, very CSI. Very fantastic. Speaking of other popular professors, we don't have many unpopular professors, in fact. But actually, one of our favorite professors and most popular professors was Tim Clapham, who did the After Effects design course last term and kind of carrying on in the design vein this term. And this is one of those that Mike mentioned was a total direct response to postgrad requests. I mean, Tim was assaulted, I think, from day one. I mean, assaulted in a good way. I don't mean in forums. It's like, oh, you got to do a Cinema 4D course. You've got to do a Cinema 4D course. And thankfully, Tim had a blast doing the After Effects design class. So he's going to go ahead and do a good intermediate motion graphics design course in Cinema 4D. Because
Tim's a legend.
He is a legend, especially in the Cinema 4D world, even more so than After Effects, I think, at least online. That's where I've heard of him. And isn't the online world the real world now anyway?
You're going down a rat hole there, but I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm going in. Absolutely right. I was sick of people. We'd organized this Cinema 4D course, right? And we hadn't announced it. And there was like post after post, can we have a Cinema 4D course, please? And of course, I was the one that had said, well, you know, Maya's the popular thing for effects early on. And so then I just had to answer, yes, we understand that you want a course. I had to bite my tongue on saying, wait until you see the April term. And man, just at one point, I nearly lost it. I was like, you know what? We get it enough already. I was going to say, like, one more post about the Cinema 4D course and you're never getting it. But I thought that someone might take me seriously, so I didn't.
Yeah, he is. And he does such a great job preparing for his course as well and getting feedback from everyone. So, I mean, he's the guy who at the end of last term wanted to get feedback from members in our January forums to see what they want to have covered to help him design the course around the wishes of our audience. So I think that's totally cool. So, but you've got some stuff in production side as well, Mike, that you're handling down under.
Well, I mentioned a moment ago about the Neon Graveyard. That's actually the reason we're going to be there is we're actually going there for our photography course. So this term what we did, we've got Tim back. Tim Wheeler is a professional photographer and honestly, like, is just a full-on professional photographer. He has really no online – I mean, has a website and stuff, but he has no, like, you know, background in any of this sort of stuff. But he's been loving the courses, and we were with him two terms ago, and then last term we had Steve Anderson. Well, Tim's back, and what we thought we'd do is the first time we had Tim, we basically said, look, we're just going to do camera shots in camera, not do any work on them in post because the idea is to show you what Tim can get in camera. Gloves are off this term. We're coming back with the digital photographer in terms of taking the photos and doing stuff with them. And I've actually posted one picture already on the Dean's blog from the shoot, which I don't know if you saw that, John, but it was from our Greek goddess shoot. Yeah. And so that is going to be a different course because instead of shooting each week with Tim, some weeks we'll be doing stuff in post. This also allows us to do things like HDR and tone mapping from a photography point of view. Now, we've done stuff like that to do with visual effects before, but tone mapping has really grown as a entire second life for HDRs in addition to visual effects work. And so we wanted to give that some due credit. So we'll photograph stuff with Tim, and then we'll do these amazing and sometimes we'll do a brief bit of Photoshop to show you where we can take it, and sometimes we'll do, you know, a lot of Photoshop and other things, and not just Photoshop. Again, we had to sort of pick something. It's obviously Photoshop's it, but there are a bunch of good tools for doing tone mapping, so we'll show you those and compare and contrast a few and give you the hints as to what's pretty cool. And there's one class there which I put down as the wrap party, Life Can Be a Zoo, and I've got my fingers crossed. We are trying to organize something absolutely awesome for that class. I mean, so awesome that it's requires specialist equipment, specialist teams. It's if we can pull it off, it will be just the way to knock your socks off at the end of term. But it's so hard to organize. I don't know if we can. So I haven't actually listed it. So cross your fingers for that one. But even without that coming off, which I hope it will, we have some really cool things coming up. And yeah, shooting in that neon graveyard, John, just is going to be a heaven. I'm just going to, you know, wow, how cool.
Have another latte. That's going to be absolutely fantastic. I'm sorry, you were on like super speed, man. I'm like,
what's that?
Do you remember that podcast we had a couple weeks ago when I was just like blew you away? Like I was like on caffeinated up. I feel like I feel like I'm in a different time warp zone. I'm like.
Okay. Anyway, the other course we're doing, right, is Red 101. And I want to talk about Red 101. So the reason I want to talk about Red 101 is because I want to explain it for you guys, right? What are you doing? Shut the fuck up. You're going to get this out before we run out of time. Okay, listen. So Red 101, we've done a – oh, God, I don't know why I work with you. So 201 and 202 were red, and we did like camera stuff and shooting with the camera, and we stress tested the camera. God, we did some really cool stuff. Red 101 is just a very controversial subject, because should it be 101? Should it be 301? What should be the course designation? I want it to be like the fundamentals of doing red workflow, but that's not to say it's going to be kiddie land. We're going to get quite in depth with every part of the current post pipeline for red, but it's just aimed at post. So obviously we'll be shooting some stuff, we'll be taking things in, but it will be aimed at discussing workflow. So this is aimed at somebody that doesn't have a red camera, but it's going to be dealing with red files. Now, I didn't want to do this course straight out of the gate because I figured, hey, no one's seen any footage yet. But this is designed for somebody that's, you know, somebody walks in and says, I want to shoot this next commercial on red. What do you recommend? Are you guys set up to do the post on this? And, you know, and oh, by the way, I heard about some new stuff. How does that work? And so it'll include some things outside of just red stuff. And by that, I mean some of the accessories and some of the third-party software that's floating around, you know, and other companies like Scratch, of course. But it's pivotal that this happens after NAB, because there are a lot of announcements, John, coming down the pipe at NAB.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing about the red courses. I mean, it's just the stuff changes so quickly and dramatically and so forth that it's really hard to say, you know, this hasn't been covered here, this hasn't been covered here. You effectively have to redo these things almost from scratch every term. Maybe not quite that bad, but it's amazing how much stuff changes just during the term. And that's actually one of the reasons that you're starting to do the Red Center podcast over at effectsguide.com as well. I just want to mention that as that ties in.
Yeah, that'll be audio only. So the idea is you get audio only if you're in FX Guide and not PhD, but if you're in PhD, you get sound and vision. So let me give you an example of that. We're going to be interviewing and hopefully talking to Graham Natras and Ted over at Red at NAB. Now, they will we might do sound bites on some of the audio podcasts. That'll be a discussion. But you guys on PhD will get the kind of in-depth interviews and analysis of the big announcements. And one thing that's really funny is that they were announcing, you know, they're going to have Scarlett there, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, wow, the new camera, isn't that cool? And then Jim posted an email on a Red User saying, we have three big announcements at NAB and Scarlett's only one of them. So I'd like to tell you exactly what I'm doing in that course, but I'm actually going to swap it around now, and I'm going to make class one the summary of Scarlett and the announcements. Because we just don't know what those other two will be, and they may change the universe that we're sitting in. But having said that, we are not going to be spending our time speculating and talking about stuff that isn't out there. So the rest of that course, apart from the introductory one where we just give you the latest goss on how things work, and with someone like Graham, an in-depth analysis on the R3D files and an in-depth on how the decompression and the on all that sort of stuff with the debayering works. But apart from that, the rest of the course is aimed at you're facing the, you know, down the barrel of a real job. This is what you need. And I've got to tell you, John, this comes from practical experience. Remember, well, actually, Jake, for example, a good friend of ours who works in the Midwest, emailed me, said, look, there's a client. They want to do a job on Red. What do I need to know? And I was almost like, oh, my God, that's a huge subject. And he was like, right, well, we were thinking about, and he just, you know, it's like so many issues to deal with. The Red 3D files, whether to do a log workflow, just a whole lot of things, how Final Cut worked. And I thought, that is like not unique. I've had that in Sydney with about six different post houses just saying, we want to understand better how to do, you know, a Red workflow.
In an email.
Yeah. And I thought, you know what, we should do a whole course that just solves that. So if you're at a post house and you just want the lowdown on what's going on and beyond the hype, right? So in fact, we'll test stuff and make sure it actually works as opposed to saying, well, in theory, you just do this, this, and this, and show you the buttons that you press inside whatever it is to make it actually full quality and the little tricks to get back the highlights and all that kind of stuff so that you can, practically speaking, work your way through. Now, I want to also point out that a lot of this is so new that what I've really benefited from is having the best set of postgrads doing the Red courses with me. Honestly, they've been not calling me out when I've got something wrong, but just pointing out stuff. And that collaborative nature of those guys, and there have been some really cool postgrads in the Red courses just popping up with stuff, and they've been testing Red themselves and contributing, has meant that the quality of the courses has been just really, really solid. And generally speaking across the board, but in particular in this class, I'm looking for feedback in the forums each week.
Yeah, and that's actually the fantastic part about it is I think this cuts through a lot of the BS and the hypothetical examples that you see in some of the forums online and mailing lists online is actually going out, testing it, seeing what really works, and actually seeing on camera Mike doing it and seeing what happens. That's what I've personally loved about all the Red courses we've done at PhD.
I don't want to pick on anyone, but we ran into a website the other day and it was like, you out of Red alert, you get 8-bit quick times. And we were like, what? And it was like a really professional website, right? Like, you know, this is the lowdown. They had a white paper on Red workflow. And I was like, no, you don't. And so I started emailing them about it. And they were like, yep. And then I just checked with the guys in like Graham and stuff. And they're like, no, you're right. This doesn't make any sense at all. And it was just because somebody had thought they'd got the right end of the stick. They didn't have a Red camera themselves. They were basing it on stuff they'd read. But they put out this very authoritative PDF kind of workflow white paper, and it was just point blank wrong. And that's not unique. I've seen that quite a few times, that stuff has been out there that's just nuts. So, you know, we really want to try and give you guys I'm sorry to interrupt you, John, but we want to just give everyone the really solid lowdown.
And that's the other thing about the postgrads also, is that's an interesting aspect of the interaction, because I'm sure you found it when I'm doing, say, beta testing on software and doing stuff on my own. You have kind of view in your mind of what you need to do and what you need to accomplish, and you have your workflow in mind, that maybe you're not going to test something extra, right? You're not going to hit that button or do this button because you're trying to get to a specific task. You don't have someone over your shoulder saying, do this, you know, throwing you a loop or making you curve, dodge to the right, you know, if you want it output a different way. And that's what I think, I would agree with you, Mike, that's what's great about the postgrads, is they bring up this extra stuff as well. That's like, you know what, good point, figure it out, it'll be done in class 4. So great, it's a great kind of collaborative environment that I've enjoyed. So looking forward to it.
Well, apart from anything else, we don't know everything. I mean, we might act like we do sometimes, but we don't. No, seriously. I mean, you know, I mean, how can we, right? Like, now we're really in on some of this stuff, and obviously we've got good links into the equipment manufacturers, and we get, you know, the lowdown. But having said that, like, you know, we are, I guess, you know, fairly authoritative on many of these points, but we don't absolutely know everything, and don't claim to. And consequently, you know, you may come across something, you know, I mean, obviously, in courses, like the Scratch course, right? The grading Scratch course. Obviously, I've used Scratch. I've done a feature film with it. Christ, I got an AFI award for it. And I know Scratch pretty well. But hey, the real expert is someone like Jeff Ohm, who's not only done feature films in Hollywood on it, but he's done about 50 other features. And not only that, but he's done stereoscopic work and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, the other side of that, working with the postgrads, is John and I, we will try and pull in the best talent we possibly can. And I must say, getting Jeff to agree to the scratch was very, very funny in the forums. I don't know if you guys saw it, but somebody actually posted saying, I want a scratch course. And I was like, we're considering that. And then they posted their list of, in an ideal world, you get one of these three legends to do it. And I guess his name was on the list, but Jeff. Now, we'd already signed Jeff. Jeff was already in, but it was nice to have a postgrad actually like name him as one of his three dream professors to actually run a course. So, and I've got to tell you, that is going to be a fun course, because not only are we doing red workflow with Scratch, but we're also doing aesthetic stuff about, you know, just how to make something look good. You know, when you get a clip in as a colorist, what do you do? How do you work with the director? How do you develop looks? How do you, you know, it'll be a really cool course.
Yeah, that's good. And also, speaking of postgrads, talking about our professors, the new Smoke Introduction to Smoke course, Professor Chris Cranus, who Huser actually used to work with. I'd forgotten about that. But
isn't that funny? That is just so
cool. Like, we announced it on April 1st, and Brian Higgins, the smoke artist who is giving the master class presentation at NAB for Autodesk, was like, oh, Cranus, yeah, you know what? I was just an assistant. Cranus taught me everything I knew, and look, now I'm doing the smoke masterclass at A&B, which I thought was a really nice comment towards Chris. But Chris is the kind of guy who's certainly been in the trenches for a while doing stuff. I mean, he's seen the growth of smoke, seen how it's changed over the years, and I think this course is going to be great. I'll admit we failed in delivering our initial Introduction to Smoke course. I thought we had a great professor lined up, and we did. We just couldn't deliver the classes. And now, but I think I'll... things happen for a reason, and I'm just so excited that we have Cranus doing this class, because it's going to be fantastic. What we're going to do is actually take a look at a spot and the kind of stuff that Mike, you and I have dealt with on a daily basis in the commercial post-production environment. We're going to load in the spot, assemble it, do all the stuff that you do to match back. How do you deal with QuickTime, large format images, do grading? What do you do grading in the timeline? Do you do in the action? And on top of that, we're going to be doing this class in a brand new smoke release that has some really cool new features, which we won't be able to talk about until next week. I'm not even, I'm actually recording the class tomorrow. I'm not sure which version of software I'm going to use. That's how new the software is that we're going to be doing in the course. So it's going to be fantastic. It's woohoo. And I got to say, I'm happy that we have the smoke course just to get that done.
Yeah.
I will say the postgrad members of the course, speaking to our membership and the people who pay and be a part of FXPhD being professional, could have easily gotten a ton of flack. We got some really harsh criticism and so forth, but no one just went off on us. They understood that things happen. They trusted us that we would come up with a good course, and I think we have a better course for them now. So I appreciate that, those of you who were signed up for the original smoke course. So, whew, I think, is that it?
I guess. I can't believe that. I mean, there's obviously a bunch of other courses coming back, you know, new PF track stuff, Mayer lighting stuff, you know. I guess the only other thing I'd really want to hammer, and we're going to put this in the forums, is we've just put up the survey for this year or this term. And the survey is so important, because while obviously the survey on last term does not affect the April 08 term in the whole, man, does it influence the July term. And obviously in some respects it'll influence this term, but you know, most of the stuff we've planned out and plotted. So please take the time to give us that information, because, you know, we want to do what you guys want, but we also don't want to be stupidly reactive. We once had a situation that somebody emailed us and suggesting something, and we immediately did it, and everybody else thought it was a bad idea apart from that one person.
Lesson learned. Not to sell.
Yeah. So when we get you to speak with one voice, it obviously has enormous impact. I mean, man, honestly, we actually get those results, build them up into like what you could only describe as a kind of, you know, report with graphs and color coding and stuff, and then have these steering meetings where we really pour over the results. And, you know, I mean, hell, there's just nothing more important than your opinion, right? And if you have comments and stuff, good or bad, we want to hear them. I'd fucked up in the previous term. I didn't go back to somebody. They emailed about that. I apologized, worked out who it was, fixed them up. I mean, we just totally listen to everything you say in those forums. So if you can just take a few moments, it really makes a big difference to us. And John, we can post that in the forums, the link to that.
Yes, it's up in the forums. And yeah, exactly. And it will also be an email to you guys as well. So I have that link. It's really incredibly important so that, yes, when Mike and I get together for the steering meeting, we can take that survey stuff to heart, as he says. Because, I mean, you can tell from the direct approaches in the survey or the comments in the survey in the past that we've been incredibly reactive to people in a good way, I think. As Mike says, it's not doing a knee-jerk reaction, but it's taking the comments. And honestly, a lot of the time it's saying, does it jive with us? Does it work with us? And if we like it, I think we can make it work for you guys. So please, please, please. If I could get down on my knees and beg, and you could see it.
As opposed to just normally on your knees in front of a flame. Walked into that one. Whoosh, don't let the door hit you on the way out. Thanks for playing. Okay.
Excuse me. But anyway, if you can't tell...
I'll be here.
We're
all
really,
week.
Really excited about it, and Mike, I'm looking forward to seeing you. Actually, it's going to be great seeing you in a few short days.
Yes, and by the way, just for the record, because we're at the end of the podcast and no one listens to this bit, you know, I thought the responses to the April 1st posting were pretty bloody.
Oh, that was fun.
Albeit letting off a bit of steam between terms. Yes, not that we normally welcome that kind of noise, but man, that was pretty funny.
Waking up that morning, logging into the IRC and seeing someone named John Mott responding to people in the way that I would respond to them just cracked me up considerably. So anyway, thanks for that. You guys, that was actually fun to have you guys play along, and it's cool to be a little not serious for a little bit and then get back in the grind of things here with the new term. So perfect timing for April Fools.
O-Week video goes up this week, and the O-Week video is not restricted. The O-Week video is something you can give to your friends, to your mum, you can show it to your dog. It's not like our normal classes. We got this every term. So we will put that up. It's a promotional device to allow you guys to understand what's going on in the courses, have a look and have a think. Maybe you're sitting on the fence as to whether or not to sign up, so it's totally cool to, you know, show it to somebody else or have a look at it or do whatever. We just would respectfully ask that you not share courses during the term, as that will fundamentally cause the world to end, and we will have to either jack the prices up or go back to doing
something else. We'll do a podcast for real that won't be on April 1st.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I mean, people are really good, and 100%. I just think it's professional ethics and also just respect. And the group of people in the postgrad community that we deal with are just stand up guys, and I just, you know, I think that we've been very, very lucky to have such a good group of people working with us. So we haven't really had a lot of problem with piracy and stuff. Nope. We had some, but it's been pretty good.
Yeah, it's actually improved, and everyone's really been fantastic about that. So I think, and very understanding. I think it's, again, I think artists kind of have this general sensibility towards that as well that I think is kind of shared. So we appreciate that. Great. And of course, as Mike said, in addition to that week, spread the word. You know, if you see something you like, you know, don't need to go spamming around other forums, but a mention and things about...
No, I'd like them to spam my performance. I'm just spam everywhere. I'm so desperate. I know, please. I'm begging you.
Do not...
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he is. I kind of wanted to say that, too.
I get really depressed at every single term. I'm like, I'm an only child. I'm like, we're going to have a party and no one's going to come. And John's like, oh, this again. And I'm like, well, do you think we got enough good stuff? But, you know, it just, my only comeback on that is it actually strives me to make courses as good as they can possibly be. Cause I like really just pour over these courses.
The kind of involvement we have with the professors, the kind of time that we spend on it to get the response from you guys and get people to sign up. It's phenomenal. Every term I'm amazed. And I tell Mike, I think on the Monday we announced, I'm like, oh my God, that whole process in the last 3 weeks is just like, you know, at the start of the term is when I want to take my vacation, you know, it's just been like,
but
really is the amount of work, right? You know, it's just fantastic. And we do that because, as Mike says, we sit and, hope that someone will show up for the term, and it's really rewarding. We hear good things about it. So spread the word, please do, around the web. And we appreciate it because that's, as we said before in the past, that's the number one word of mouth that we have. And I'll actually be posting some stuff. We've got some new guidelines where you can actually get a free whole term membership, not just bonus classes. But if you refer people, we have certain numbers that you'll hit that you'll actually get a free term the next term. So
not really
as a sign of thanks to you guys.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I'll admit it's actually not really new.
It's not new. I don't know about it. We We also spend most of our advertising money these days on shoots, right? Because we decided a while ago that rather than spending a lot of money on ads in magazines, we'd just give you guys better and better quality material. And, you know, I'm looking at that photo right now from Tim's course with Rose, you know, the did the goddess thing. And, like, that's a full-on professional quality. You know, I would be really happy to have that in my portfolio, obviously. And, yeah, I mean, this is just not dicking around taking photos of my dog. So, you know. It's good. What do you mean, nerd? Just back-chattingly saying nerd. What are you talking about? You are just out of control today. Just, hello? Did you hit your head?
Dude, how do you? I'm going like 10 miles an hour.
Sleep deprived?
I really am. I'm kind of on a cloud nine here with everything that's happened here with the new term, the great classes, the new courses.
Drunk, and, more like it.
And okay, Mr. Ten Latte. That's true. Okay. That's all we do in we have cakes.
Bar camp. We've got to remember, speaking of alcoholics, getting to
Monday.
Bar camp. If you're going to Vegas, Monday at the Wynn Hotel, bar camp. And I've set up a Twitter feed. God, I never thought I'd do this. I'm set up a Twitter feed for NAB. So I'm going to be Twittering what I'm up to at NAB. So I'll post that in the forums as well, see if it works. I don't think I can Twitter the whole year round, but I'm going to Twitter NAB.
I'm not. Good. I'm happy you're doing it. I hate it, but anywho.
Okay. Okay, we gotta go.
All right. Well, thanks so much, and I'll see you in a couple days.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FX PhD.